This hour is brought to you by JulieBeforeYouDig.com.
Let's go, coach. Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
I'm going to hand over to Coach Johnson now, okay?
Let's go.
What we got, man?
Coach Johnson.
Tell me something now.
Come on now.
We cook it with hot grease now, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate
smart,
it.
Smart, tough, explosive. I mean, I know exactly what we're getting, man.
Ben Johnson. And I'm still laughing at what you just sent us, Ray. The picture of Keenan Allen that Caleb Williams posted on his Instagram story. Yesterday was his birthday. He's like, happy birthday, fam, forever and always, Keenan Allen. Sleeping in what looks like a charter bus or some sort of transport vehicle. And then he goes, I really got a bald friend, y'all. Terrible. Terrible. Funny.
I'm going to miss Keenan. I'm going to miss Keenan on the field. I'm going to miss his realness in the locker room.
What
nobody
do you mean?
Nobody told it. Do you have something?
He could be back. He's a free agent. Oh, he's out here sitting out here waiting for somebody to give him a job.
Okay. How many wide receivers do you think the Bears are going to have? Marshall, 12?
I mean,
what does everybody run? Everybody just run.
I'm for it. I heard it was an open competition out there. So Keenan Allen can come in here and
how
see if he can beat somebody
out. How much cap money do you think the Bears have?
Maybe Keenan Allen's just like, yo, put me in, coach.
Do you guys remember the year? I don't know if you guys are here or not, but in the year 2019,
in the year 2000,
was probably the most arduous and hilarious training camp that I've ever covered in my life.
Was that the one with the kicking competition?
Yes, that was the one with the kicking competition.
Yes.
Let me tell you, because it's the year for reference for people who don't know, or maybe you're new to the score or new to the Bears.
You're new to this show.
Yeah, it's
called
a new
Raheem
show.
And Harris,
it's
Mark Grody.
All new again. Cody Parkey, of course, missed a double doink kick against the Philadelphia Eagles in the year 2018.
Remember
We've
that?
Never
I remember
been
that.
The same.
We all remember that.
Never mind the fact that Matt Nagy didn't run the ball in that game at all.
Well,
never
we can talk about a lot
part.
Of stuff. We can
never,
talk about a lot of stuff.
There's reasons the Eagles were able to drive down the field at will, but yes, go on.
And it actually felt like, at least in the fourth quarter, Mitch Trubisky was coming of age, and it felt like, oh yeah, look at that play, and look at that. So the double doink occurs, and of course, the whole season then is blamed on the kicker. There was no other problems.
That was a me move, not a we move.
That's right. Not getting
Today
Jordan.
Today's show.
Not allowing.
You know about all of this, Marshall.
Yeah. I hear you. Keep going, Mark.
Not allowing Jordan Howard to run the football. That had nothing to do with the issues that the Chicago Bears had throughout in terms of their offense. It was all about the kicking. We get the right kicker in here, and the Bears are going to blast off. They're gonna sustain success will become sustained success.
And then they kept trying to recreate that magic from the 2018 season.
And we get to training camp, and there's 10 to 12 kickers. And we're, as the media, we're going around doing interviews with all these guys, and we're looking at each other going, okay, now who's this guy? Who's this? What did this guy do? Oh, he's a left. Oh, he's the lefty guy. Okay, he's that guy. And all these kickers were so nice because it was like their big opportunity, but it was almost like covering a combine. And I was like, what's this? What do you do? Where are you from? Oh, you were selling insurance before you came here. Okay, that's really cool.
No, that actually happened.
Yes. I know.
And they tried to put them in stressful situations to try to mock a game situation
once they did like the actual scrimmages during training camp, yeah, we're all sitting up there. We're marking the distances. This guy was 7 for 9. We're checking with each other. Hey, did you get that one? It like you look back on in the moment. It didn't feel as ridiculous as it does right at this very moment.
That's how most things work when you have that rearview mirror and the hindsight is 20/20. That's why that expression comes from the fact that you look back and like, that's not what I thought it was.
That wasn't the problem either. You know, Eddie Pinheiro. I loved Eddie Pinheiro. Loved Eddie Pinheiro, too. That wasn't the problem. I mean, it was a problem, but...
It wasn't the problem.
It wasn't the problem. And basically, they were blaming the kicker on their season and their success for that year.
So, Mark, when you consider it in retrospect... What's the parallel or what jogs your memory about it when you're talking about this situation?
Well, you guys brought up the wide receivers. And so, hey, if they're joking around about Keenan Allen, if there's a gluttony of wide receivers that show up to this camp, I don't have a problem with that.
Are you going to do that kicker competition? Same thing?
That would be hilarious, and I think that it would be more justified because, again, I'll go to what I said on this show and what I've been saying for the last 3 days when anybody asks me about Luther Burden and that pick in the second round. It's crazy to think that the Chicago Bears could ever have enough wide receivers because guess what? We could sit here and probably name five wide receivers that have played for the Chicago Bears who have made an impact, and that's about it. Your Brandon Marshalls, your Alshon Jeffries.
I did, for sure.
There has not been enough of these guys throughout Bears history to say, yeah, it's crazy to bring in 12 or 13. So if they did that, if they gave us the wide receiver circus this year in training camp, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
All right, fair enough. To that end, I think we should go over some audio from what we heard. Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles had a press conference to wrap up the draft over the weekend. There are a couple things that stuck out to us. I think we've got to start with the key observation here. Similar to the Bears having more than what we thought at certain positions is the concept of competition. So let's hear what he had to say about that very idea.
Listen, we talked about it the moment the players got back in the building. Call it 3 weeks ago now, it was going to be a competitive environment. There is no depth chart right now. If you want to play, you got to go earn it. If you want a role, you got to go earn it. They know that. So we were very straightforward and honest with them when they came into the building. I think all we did this weekend was we might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials for certain people in the building. So that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That's where you bring out the best, not only in your team, but in each individual. So what I'm going to be curious to see is what guys look like when the ball's not in their hands on offense. Okay? Yeah, you're right. We have a lot of weapons, and so – how are you going to run your route when you might not be number one in the progression? Okay. How are you going to block your teammate when he has the ball? Because if you do those things right, then as a coaching staff, we're going to want to get you the ball a little bit more. So it all ties together. It all goes hand in hand. And that's the beauty behind it.
All right. So we hear there's going to be competition. That is something they said. The draft would indicate that that's the case. I thought it was pretty interesting, though, when he talked about what you do when you're not the designated target. And I go back to something that our friend Tim Jenkins talked about, you know, where he said the love of the game routes, like how much are you just running for the love of the game, like trying to show that not only are you maybe not the actual intended target, but how much are you stretching out the defense, for example? How much are you really trying to sell this? And again, it just feels to me that Ben Johnson is talking to somebody when he's talking to all of us.
So the question is, who is he talking to? Or here's my thought. He wasn't talking to someone specifically. He was talking to everybody. And even the guys that we assume are going to be starting, like Caleb Williams for number one, he's just saying competition is afoot. So get in where you fit in, or else you're going to be looking around like a bad game of musical chairs and wondering why you ain't got no place to sit. That's how I took it.
I think it's ego management. I think it's there's a lot of guys who are going to need the football. Layla, you were talking about that during the pre-show meeting. Like, how are they going to manage this? It's going to be up to Caleb Williams to do a lot of the management, but that's Ben Johnson saying, hey, you may not get the ball or get targeted as much as you are expecting to, because we're going to try to spread this ball around if we're going to do it right. So I really think it's his warning of saying, yeah, you got to do the dirty work to earn your way to the football and all of that. And, you know, maybe there were moments last year as he looked at the tape that wasn't happening. But I think that this, more than anything, is him saying, be prepared for this to be a team and not an individual thing this year.
Well, and I think that's important. But I also think this comes down to, you know, this is something that Coach Wannstedt always talks about. And I was reminded, I think, when we were talking about why the Raiders initially wanted to get rid of Khalil Mack, speaking of 2018. And he said, you know, we always look for the new head coaches because they are going to want to shape the team how they want. And that usually means somebody talented and somebody established is going to be available.
Yeah, well, think about when Matt Eberflus came in here. What happened? Like, there goes Roquan Smith. You know, Roquan Smith goes, and then they bring in Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards. And even if you want to talk about Ryan Poles' first draft, I mean, he was definitely catering to Flus. Like, with Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, those were his first two picks. And then Velus Jones.
Third round. They fixed that. No third round this year.
Yeah, right. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. Yeah. So there's all sorts of ways to look at it.
I think you got to give the coach what he wants, ultimately, right? If you're getting this brand new head coach, you know how good his offense has been. You have to put him in a position where, like, hey, what do we really need? Let's make sure we address you having the most explosive, dangerous offense we can imagine. Like, I think the three of us are in some sort of agreement that that starts with the line. He did address the line. I will say he addressed the line before the draft ever happened. I just thought there would be more in the trenches, specifically on the defensive line, but also the offensive line. And, hey, he may have a new offensive tackle that starts on day one in Ozzie Tripillo. It might happen that way. I just don't see it happening that way as of right now. The fact that there was only one defensive lineman taken in the draft and it was not an edge tells me a lot about, well, I guess they meant what they said about where the pressure's coming from on the inside. And I think the bigger thing is trying to figure out how much of this is Ben Johnson? How much of this is just Ryan Poles trying to acquiesce Ben Johnson? That's where I am right now. It's a Ben Johnson draft, but is it Ben Johnson calling shots, or is it just Ryan Poles saying, I'm giving it to you?
I would like to present two data points to our group here.
Okay.
Number one is, you know, and I'm not making any excuses for Matt Eberflus, but I do always think about how he said he wanted a game-wrecking three technique. Game-wrecking was a term that I believe we added, right? That was something how we described it. But he talked about how it centered around needing the three technique. And that was something that he never really got. He got Jervon Dexter, second round pick, somebody who they wanted to change his style of play from what he was doing previously in college.
And Justin Jones, too, was the first guy. And I'll make the argument he may still to this day have been the most effective three technique out of anybody that they put at that position.
Correct. Oh, Justin Jones got a lot of flack, but fitting that scheme, perhaps the most effective to date. So I think of that a lot because Eberflus was asking for something he wanted and didn't get it. And there were multiple reasons surrounding that, which have been discussed. It's a question we'll always ask. It's kind of like how we say Colston Loveland is going to be linked to Tyler Ward now. You know, we think about the exchange that they had to make for Darnell Wright versus Jalen Carter, how much it would look different. The sliding doors are all there. The other piece of this, too, is that any GM has to ask a coach, how do you see this person fitting into your scheme? How can you coach them? Is this somebody you want? That always has to happen. So how much of that is Ryan Poles also catering to that from both coaches' standpoints?
See, I think this is the perfect point to now listen to what Ben Johnson had to say about working with Ryan Poles, because this was his first NFL draft as a head coach.
Bear.
On the score?
Bear.
Bear.
Bears?
How many bears?
Monongai. You know, by the way, Kyle Monongai, by the way.
You're just going to say Monongai now at
I'm just
going to
say. I'm just going to say.
Who's your Monongai?
He's not from here, so I can't, like, I do the Bears thing. He doesn't get the automatic from here Bears, but a name like that, Kyle Monongai, that's the four Bears.
Just
four
for
bears.
The name? Four just for the name?
Just for the name, absolutely.
I like the Grody scale of one to bears and how many. Do we have the audio now?
Hey, Monongai.
All right, let's listen.
It's the Monongai.
Okay, again, this is Ben Johnson on working with Ryan Poles during his first NFL draft as a head coach.
I would say just in regards to Ryan and his staff, you know, my first exposure in the draft room with his crew was before the combine, and to see the consistency with which the schedule comes and the structure, everything is working. There's a flow. There's a rhythm to all the madness behind what we do and how we do it. And Ryan really is the brains behind that. He's set it all up, and it's you can tell that this group, this organization, has been together for a number of years now because it's been running so smoothly. So he's consistent every single day when he comes in. I think that's sometimes is underlooked at times, particularly in this profession. Consistency is a huge deal, and he he's done a great job just every single day laying out a plan, executing that plan, and it's been a pleasure getting to know him more.
When you hear that, how does that make you feel?
Well, the word madness, I mean, he made it sound like this is a process that we're unfamiliar with, explaining to us, almost not dumbing it down, but bro, we know what the NFL draft is. We know it is quote unquote madness. This isn't your first NFL draft, just the first one as an NFL head coach. I think he's just trying to say something nice about his relationship with Ryan Poles. I didn't take anything away from it that said, this is groundbreaking what you're telling us on this.
The fact that he said that he could tell that this group has been together for a while, and that, paraphrasing, it seemed, you know, well-oiled machine in that regard. I mean, that was good for me to hear. I think with Ryan Poles, and maybe all the other GMs are similar in this, factually, they are, because Ryan Pace used to use the word collaborate a lot. It's a collaborative process. I listen to everybody. I get the feeling, and I think we've seen it at times, and I've heard it from people, that I think he does like the dissenting opinions maybe more than the average GM, like, because they've come out with it, like talking about Ian Cunningham and he going back and forth. Now, I don't know if that extends to the head coach, to the position coaches, to the scouts, because they're all in the room too, like, while all of this is going on. So I think that there is a normal amount that a GM has to listen to his head coach, but at the end of the day, he's the one making the decision, and he's going to listen to his coaches.
I do think that we asked the question, whose draft is this? We have talked a lot about Ryan Poles and how he fits a
it
team together.
Happens.
I'm sorry. Well, it was the 2019 kicker competition.
Sorry about that.
It transported me back into a different time.
Can we get Eddie Pinheiro on the phone? I'd love to talk to Eddie P. He once hit a game-winning kick in Denver, and it was just pandemonium. It was hilarious because I was doing sidelines then, running on the field. Shea Pepler and I jockeying for position, trying to get him in something. I think we got him before the network, and the network was all mad at us. So it was just pandemonium, man.
He went to his familiar faces. That's what relationship building is all about.
That's what happened, because honestly, low-key, like, Shea and I would sit out there before the game, as we do as sideline reporters. Eddie Pinheiro was one of the guys that we would always talk to. He'd always come over to the sideline, and he'd tell us about what's going on, how the wind is, and all that. So you're right, Layla. Friendly face, and we got the interview.
I just feel like this is still a Ryan Poles draft. Like, period. He talks about staying disciplined to the board, and he talked about what that meant and how, you know, sometimes you might slip and draft into position of need versus the board. And when he gives that indication, I still think this very much is his baby.
I think that's where I finished. At first, I was like, oh, this is a Ben Johnson draft. And then after hearing him talk, and after hearing both of them talk, and after seeing all of the picks, I was like, you know what? It's not that it's Ben Johnson's draft. It's just a Ryan Poles draft for Ben Johnson.
Example, Mickey Loomis, Saints draft. You know exactly who they're taking the first round.
Offensive lineman.
Or defensive lineman. Who'd they take at number 9, one pick ahead of the Bears? Kelvin Banks.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's another guy.
The end.
Well, that's another guy we don't know exactly what went down. He got selected one pick before the Bears went. And we don't know how their chart was stacked up, but one could probably say that was a player that they might have been interested in.
Over Colson Loveland?
Well, I don't know.
That's the question.
I do like that we know Colson Loveland, Tyler Warren. It's clear who their preferred tight end is.
Well, and it makes sense like type of tight end. Tyler Warren leans a little bit more towards the Cole Kmet type, although gets probably better separation. And I think we kind of got this wild card in Colson Loveland. I don't know, maybe that's not the right word that Bears fans want to hear, but this guy with his size and his separation plays a little bit more like a wide receiver right now. We'll see if he adds a little bit of weight and if he can get the blocking part down, or if this guy just becomes a badass Travis Kelce type of weapon.
That was Mark Grody. Marshall Harris is with us. I'm Layla Rahimi, and we thank you for joining us on Rahimi and Harris on the Score. More draft talk with Mark Grody coming up next.
Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
How many weeks in November and December did we say, just be normal?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to lose a game because you were outplayed and you didn't do something crazy at the end. You know, just be normal. And it was not normal.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wedier said we would mention this nugget.
We'll go first to Dan Wedier. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan Wedier.
Get your track shoes on.
On 670 The Score.
The Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Grody rolls on, and we are happy to go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. That is where we find our friend Dan Wedier. I am so flattered right now, Marshall, because you know what we're witnessing in real time? Do you know what we're experiencing?
Is it the Take the North podcast on our show?
Woo!
A show within a show, if you will.
Grody even wore the shirt, Dan. He even wore the shirt.
Is this because you knew Dan was coming on?
No, I just, you know, like the shirt, spread the word.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm proud. I'm wearing it with pride, Weedsy. What's up, buddy?
Weedsy.
Grody spreads the word very often. Excuse me, I'm coughing, so he's going to have to spread
he's
more beclemmed. Words than that. But,
and yeah. You can see Dan on Twitch, by the way, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. I love that the Take the North guys are both here at the same time. Makes
it
me happy.
Cool.
It's a fun time. Congrats to you guys on the big news today. And obviously, yeah, a lot to get at after a busy weekend and now some big score news on Monday morning.
By the way, we will be doing, just so everybody knows, on Take the North, Dan and I did what we called a pre-draft bonanza show, a draft bonanza episode, which was, how long did we go, Dan? Like an hour or something like that?
Almost 90 minutes, Grody.
Yeah, we had 25 pressing topics. We will do today, after this show, he and I will be recording our post-draft bonanza show, Marshall.
I used to eat at the Bonanza when I was a child, so I get it.
I love a
buffet. This is Bonanza 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh! Did you hear about Bears 2 when we had that cooked up for a minute? It was like when the Bengals, before they got their stadium funding, Mike Florio thought that they might combine stadium funding or efforts or something with the Bears, and then we came up with Bears 2.
That would have been fun. That would have been fun to have two teams to cover it at once.
I think we're still workshopping Bears 2, but it's basically the anti-Bears. Like, that's what we decided.
I think Bears 2 would have drafted a running back, don't you, Dan?
Bears 2 would have taken an offensive lineman no matter what.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's just start with the obvious. Your overall thoughts on this draft. We gave grades earlier. What's yours?
Yeah, I'm not big into letter grades 2 days after the draft, but I will say I left Hallis Hall Saturday night with just kind of a shrug. You know, it just Saturday in particular felt like a night or a day where a long, long day where none of the picks really gave you much of an adrenaline rush. It was just kind of some things that they did. And now you're going to have to see if you can develop those guys into contributors for your football team. My sense is that Thursday night they would have loved it had one of the offensive tackles fallen into their laps, in particular Will Campbell, which was probably a long shot, and then Calvin Banks, who went one pick before them. But they feel like they've got a weapon in Loveland that is really dynamic and is going to be fun to pair with both Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And then we can have that discussion about what that was in round two, whether their best case scenarios with the running back options got away from them and how they're going to manage now with another receiver added to a group of weapons that's going to challenge Ben Johnson in some different ways.
Let's talk about the running backs. Let's get right to it. They end up with the 21st drafted running back in the NFL draft. 21. I know it was a deep running back class, Dan, but as I've been trying to wrap my head around it, it wasn't that deep. What do you think happened there? Do you have a working theory?
Yeah, I do. And I asked Ryan Poles about this late Saturday night in saying that, look, it just felt like all weekend that running back board danced away from you. And is that just something that creates some human nature frustration? And he just sort of acknowledged that that's just part of being in a draft and that it's going to be like that sometimes where the pockets don't line up. I think the Bears would have loved to make a huge splash on Thursday and made a trade to go get Ashton Jeanthey. But when they had those conversations and considered the cost, it didn't feel worth it to them to blow out their top three draft picks to take one guy. You would have had to trade 10 and probably your 2 second round guys to go up there, or 2 second round picks to go up there above Vegas to get him. And then on day two, I think there was serious interest in Travion Henderson to the point that I think they were making phone calls and trying to get that lined up, and they just weren't able to get a deal done. And then he goes one pick before them to the New England Patriots. And so then you go into day three thinking like, okay, you're still picking at the top of round four. Certainly they're going to get one here. And then two backs come off the board before they're on the clock and they in turn trade back really quickly, which leads you to believe that there was some interest in those two guys, particular Cam Scatabo at the top of day three. And so it's just one of those drafts where I think it got away from them. And Marshall, to your point, like when you have grand imaginations for the position and then you're drafting RB21 or RB22, whatever it turned out to be, I think there is a sense of deflation with that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Kyle Manunk, it's a seventh round pick, so that's always a wild card, even in making a football team. But I guess, I don't know if this is good or bad for Roschon Johnson at this point, that they bring in another guy who seems to be similar in traits to somebody like Roschon Johnson, or could pull off the kind of stuff that he would. So do you think that this is a savior for somebody like Roschon Johnson, that the Bears did not get one of those guys that you just mentioned?
Grody, I would wait until the end of May to make that decision, because I wouldn't be surprised if they did some street free agent shopping with some of the veteran options that are out there to potentially add to that room and add some competition. Look, like I think there's a sense inside that building that Roschon Johnson's got more in him than he's been able to show the last few years, in particular last year, where he kind of got a role that maybe didn't, you know, showcase everything that he has to offer. And so, you know, this is, look, like Ben Johnson hasn't had a full practice with his football team yet. And so there's a lot for this new coaching staff to get their eyes on, evaluate, and then pivot in directions that they want to go. And so I think some things on that roster are going to be fluid over the next 6 weeks or so as they try to get themselves aligned properly for training camp.
From the butcher to street meat, that's where they went with the running back position.
Marshall the Wordsmith, his headline writing at your service.
We could use them. Yeah, we need more headline writers at the Tribune, so just keep sending them in.
You know, it's a real art form, in my opinion. I do want to also ask about this, Dan. They had the Bears. We do know about some of the top 30 visits, for example, that they had. I can't believe we're getting this far into the minutia, which is really considering, you know, Roschon's a fourth round pick, for example. We're talking about Kyle Monongo. He matters. He matters to us. But even SMU running back Breshard Smith reportedly brought him for a top 30. I think he talked about it on Kay Adams' show. You know, clearly somebody the Bears at least had on their radar to some extent. You know, I'm wondering to what level did some of these people fall off their board before they were able to get to them? Was he considered possibly one of those guys?
You know, it's hard to say what they gleaned from each of those 30 visits. 30 visits can be used for a lot of different things. And so until you have full intel from the organization itself on what they were looking to get out of it and what they did get out of it, it's hard to speculate. I know that last week started with a grand imagination inside the building on what they could do in what was widely advertised to be one of the deepest classes of running backs in years. And they didn't get done what the best case scenarios were. And sometimes that's draft weekend and you've got to pivot in new directions. The key in pivoting into new directions is making sure that the guys that you end up taking at other positions become difference makers for you, contributors for you, that they fit the vision of what you have for them. And so now they've got to do that. And you look, like these day three picks, you've got a really fast linebacker. Okay, well, let's see if he can earn a starting role going into the season, or at least a base defense role when you have three linebackers on the field. Okay, you've got a developmental corner out of UTSA. Okay, what is that going to look like? And what is Zach Frazier's profile look like 3 years from now? You know, you've got to make some of these guys become impactful to your team. And if you don't, then the draft ends up being like so many Bears drafts of the past, where you look back on it and you go, man, a lot of misses and not enough hits.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues that we're faced with when we try to evaluate. As you said, you don't like to give the letter grade. The letter I prefer to go with is I, because it is incomplete. No matter what we say, I said C+, but like it is what it is. I'm looking at this overall, and we've kind of gone back and forth with, okay, is this a Ben Johnson draft? I've likened it after doing my thorough, you know, review, and said it feels like a Ryan Poles draft that was gifted for Ben Johnson. I'm not calling it necessarily a Ben Johnson draft, but I feel like my biggest issue going with this right now is, who's getting to the quarterback on this team? Who's getting to the quarterback? Dan, you tell me, who's getting to the quarterback? Because that's the question I've been asking since I moved to Chicago.
You're taking a leap of faith in Dayo Odengbo, who you paid a lot of money to be a quarterback disruptor. You're taking a leap of faith that your defensive coaching staff and Dennis Allen at the top can find a role for Austin Booker and develop him into what the Bears believed he could be when they drafted him a year ago. And obviously you need Montez Sweat to play like one of the most highly paid edge rushers in the National Football League. And then at the same time, we've heard for a while now about their desire to create pressure from the interior. And so Grady Jarrett's going to have to be part of that mix. You know, you're going to have another step up from Jervon Dexter, who I think is probably the other defensive tackle starter in this particular system. And so, look, it's going to be by committee, and it's going to require all of the players that I just mentioned meeting expectations. And that's a big part of this, is you can't fall short of expectations. Otherwise, you fall short of expectations. And we're sitting here talking about a 10, 11, 12 loss football team because they didn't get what they wanted out of positions of need and players that they brought in to give them what they wanted.
And then the one guy I don't think you mentioned there, Dan, is a guy that we got to meet who, in terms of personality, definitely an interesting character. Shamar Turner, the defensive lineman out of Texas A&M. I don't know if it would be fair to say that you could just throw this guy into the rotation, because he did move from, you know, a defensive end spot, put on some weight, and now he's a tackle. But dude is ready, that's for sure.
His tape is fun.
His tape is fun, and his personality, yes, is more fun. I think for a late April review, like, Grody, you would speak to this, that I think the energy that he had both on the Friday night Zoom call and then the in-person interview on Saturday was off the charts. And you were like, oh man, like, you like to have, as reporters, you like to have guys like this inside the locker room, because you know, on a dead Thursday, you can go in there, strike up a conversation, and you're going to leave probably laughing, a little more energized. Shamar Turner seems ready to roll. Now they've just got to figure out what that role looks like. Like I say, I think he'll be playing behind Grady Jarrett and Jervon Dexter, and they've got to figure out how he fits in Dennis Allen's defense, with this being a defense that wants to attack and wants to go forward. And so we'll see what that looks like. But certainly from a personality standpoint, from an energy standpoint, how many times over the weekend did we hear the word violent applied to Shamar Turner?
Right. He's got to tone some of that down, just a little bit of it. He needs to tone down. Hilarious little moment, Layla, with Shamar Turner. When the guys get up to the lectern or the podium or the desk or whatever you want to call it, there's always water lined up for these guys. They got the Deja Blue water, of course.
We love the Deja Blue.
Love the Deja Blue.
It's got a cute little bear on it. Bears.
So for the first time, at least, that I've been covering the Bears since 2018, and Dan can maybe say if he'd seen this prior to that, he looked at us after he did his thing, and this was borderline adorable. He goes, "Can I take the water? Can I take the water?"
We're like, yes!
Like, it's just
everything is now yours, Shamar.
Yeah, and he just thought it was the greatest thing that he got to take the water.
Did you guys inform him about the free Dr. Pepper and Diet Dr. Pepper? Did anybody tell him about that part? I mean, he did play
Layla,
A&M now.
We've got RC and Squirt and Sunkissed in that media room fridge.
That's right, we have Squirt.
Wait till Shamar Turner gets a look at that fridge and realizes he can snag one of those every time he comes to the
media. I just need one of you to inform him, especially about the Dr. Pepper. I think that really hits the point.
What about Mr. Pibb? That's Chuck Swirsky's drink, by the way.
Good on Chuck.
Did you know that? Like,
I'll
Chuck,
stick with the OG.
He ODs, not OG. He ODs on the Mr. Pibb. That's a problem.
Wow. That was very...
I like how we all just sat here in stunned silence.
How I went from OG to OD. I don't know why you guys didn't appreciate that.
The Bears add eight players to their team, and then the thing that shocks us all is that line about Chuck Swirsky.
Speaks to Chuck's celebrity.
He's the best. Dan, asking as a longtime caller and listener to the Take the North podcast, when are you guys getting the wristbands in? I was told there were wristbands for Take the North by one Mark Grote.
Is it like VIP?
Wait, I think
I was,
Studs.
I was not told that.
No,
yet.
I wasn't either. So, that was Studs that was spreading those rumors. Adam Studzinski, who
you
is
were
the,
on
this
the
is breaking news to me.
Speaking.
I said that.
You said something about Take the North
wristbands. Oh, no. What did I say?
You're being sarcastic, and I'm holding
Grody
you to
wears
it.
One of those quarterback wristbands on his wrist for every show so he can keep track of the itinerary.
Lift the
flap
up.
That may be what he's talking about. Yeah, he lifts the flap
up. Velcro.
Yeah, we're going to talk running back now.
To be fair, Dan, I also need that in my life. Just saying.
You're right,
Layla. We all need a version of that.
Yeah, I did say that.
I need to check the sideline. I need somebody to hold up a card with four different things on it. Yeah, all of those things.
I did say, yeah, they would take the North bracelets. You're right. But I thought there actually were some, to be honest with you, like the rubber ones.
You know, maybe as my first official order of business since I've been here 5 years, maybe that's what I need to do.
Make wristbands?
I want Take the North wristbands.
Design them.
Make
I'm
them
in.
Man, you got the power now. Full time.
What about that last time I was a host full time, though?
You still had the, but you didn't come up with the idea to make the...
All right, so that's it, Dan. We'll get on that. I'll let you.
I kind of like this idea. This could be a good marketing gimmick.
Hey, Dan, did you by any chance hear us talking about the great 2019 training camp of kickers?
The college.
I did
of
not.
Kickers?
Well, listen, it was like the spring where the kicker thing was at its peak, and then by the time we got to camp, they had narrowed it down, and they were a little more streamlined. But yeah, we remember. Those of us who attended that remember like leaving OTA practices to go to a separate field to watch guys that we never heard of try to kick the ball through the uprights.
It was hilarious. Dan, I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
You guys describing it was great. I need an oral history at some point of that as well. That's my second request of official order
All right.
of business.
Thanks
Filing
so much,
these requests,
Dan. We
and
appreciate
I'll do
you,
my
man.
Homework.
Dan.
All right, guys,
Weirer.
Congrats and enjoy the week.
Thanks,
Thank
appreciate
you, Dan.
You.
We will read your work in the Chicago Tribune. We will listen to you on the Take the North podcast. And we will continue to talk about... I think that something we need to bring up amongst us is why we are putting such hope into a seventh rounder.
Are we?
Are we? Yeah. I'm not.
It's because his name is Monongai. I think you're catching on.
Well, let's talk about it.
Who's your Monongai next on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on the
score?
What
you did there.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Hello and welcome. This is Rahimi Ann Harris with Mark Grody as well. And an abrupt ending to a song that I want to never end. I'm really sorry. Robbie Triano, Ray Diaz, and you, we thank you for being a part of this. And we just had Dan Wiederer on. If you missed it, you can go back, listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. We are expecting Anna Heron to join us as well. Poor Mark Grody's gone through two microphones on this show, but we're all still alive and ticking. Monday after the NFL draft, and as we talk about the Bears' needs, and maybe it's because we were so used to discussing during what Lawrence Holmes calls lying season.
Yeah.
The idea of, are the Bears going to trade up for Ashton Jeanty? Is it a possibility?
I hope
They're
not.
Praying for him to land at 10. Ashton Jeanty went sixth. So like all of these factors that go into this, and we're like running back, running back, running back. Over and over and over again. Bears get a running back, but it's in the seventh round. Kyle Monongai, who's your Monongai, if you
My
will.
My Monongai.
The running back from Rutgers, 233 overall. Graded, for example, you know, the Beast had him out of their position strength, 20th running back in a class that was very strong. How much that factors into how he would be ranked in another running back class. Maybe it moves him up, you know, a couple notches, maybe three or four. I'm not real sure. What was it? Was it dial on the notch? Was that what Ben Johnson said yesterday, by the way?
I'm not even going to try to say it because I'll screw it up trying to say his screw up.
That sounds about right. Okay. Also, like, welcome to the world of talking on a live mic for a long time, Ben
That's
Johnson.
Right.
Like,
just lucky he doesn't work at the score.
Yeah, exactly.
True that.
But at the same time, it got me thinking, this is a lot when we are very focused on this one individual as to how we want to see the Bears run game move forward.
It's frightening. I'll say this. I don't think that it was lying when we started to hear the reports about the Bears wanting to move up for Ashton Jeanty. I do think that there was some reality to that. I also think that they probably were interested in one of those, Travion Henderson, a very strong possibility. Now, what we now know is that the price was either too steep or when it got to one of those running backs, whether it was Quinshon Judkins or Travion Henderson, they didn't want to pay the price to move up for whatever reason in that moment.
And That's the part of this that's hard to figure out how to do the math on, like what the price would have been.
Or the team that selected him didn't want to do business.
Well, I think there were other teams who were being way more aggressive in going to get their running backs. You saw a team trade up to get a running back right ahead of the Bears.
Right. You think the Patriots are going to want to give up on the trade with the Bears for a running back? No, not with that head coach.
And you look around the division and you're thinking, okay, the running back room needs to be upgraded. That's before you even look around at other teams. But looking at other teams does make you realize how lacking this running back room is as of now. And I know a bunch of people on the text line right now are just saying, J.K. Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins, go get J.K. Dobbins.
Do they have the money for that?
Yeah, that'd be my first question. But listen, I'm open to ideas because what they have right now, I don't think any of us is comfortable saying this is the Bears running back committee heading into the regular season.
The only thing I would say is what I said about earlier about the offensive line. Could the new interior of this offensive line make a difference for somebody like DeAndre Swift, who we all said, I mean, a lot of us sat here last year and said, oh, low key, that's a great move to get DeAndre Swift here. He could do a lot. He's got speed, man. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He could be Caleb Williams' best friend.
Wasn't he coming off of a career high in yards, too?
I believe he was. Yeah. So
with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So things look, I mean, nobody looked at him and said, this is a star running back. I mean, obviously drafted very highly by the Detroit Lions once upon a time, and they let him go to the Eagles, and the Eagles let him go to the Bears. So this wasn't a guy, you know, who has had a consistent home. But I do think that, and hey, we talk about, all, you know, Ben Johnson and the magic of Ben Johnson. At some point in time, Ben Johnson has to be responsible for making players better.
I think that's a piece of that we definitely don't give enough credit to. I mean, I do. Like, I understand it. I understand the principle of what you're saying. But the reality of having watched this Bears offense for as long as people in this city have watched this Bears offense, they just want more. They want more. And so they're greedy in that they're saying, I see all these skill position guys that you have. I want to know that this running game that you tell me is going to be so important to making this offense flow off the play action, whatever, it's got to be a real threat. I don't know that Menangai is a real threat in terms of he slips a tackle and takes to the house.
I love that we're talking about a seventh round pick with this much fervor, but it also just worries me when we consider what this running back room is going to look like. Ian Wheeler, I know a lot of people have talked about the injury, obviously stunted the discussion there previously. Either way, when you hear Ben Johnson talk so much about the run game and how that feeds everything else, make the same things look different, make different things look the same. He also talked about the importance of play action. You don't always have to run the ball to get play action to work for you. Either way, is this enough in what it's constructed as right now? I'm still visualizing a run game that involves more ISO duo, somebody who can ground and pound. And we're still trying to figure out who that's supposed to be on this team.
Maybe it's Doug Kramer. Maybe they got big ideas.
Stop. This will not stand.
Why not?
Speaking of things that will not stand.
We can have fun.
Because as long as he's got what you guys were just teasing about, the wrist, everything,
yeah.
That's not a way to hold on to the football.
Shout out to Adam Studzinski, who, yes, there are Take the North wristbands. We've got them. Or bracelets.
Can I get one?
Yeah, so I
absolutely
thought it was like an athletic, like a sweat-absorbing wristband, but it's a...
it's a friendship
a bracelet.
Yeah, it's
like a friendship bracelet.
Is it one of the ones that has like the little beads, like the little Taylor Swift type?
Be friends.
Is it a rubber band?
I haven't seen it.
I'm not familiar
actually
with the Taylor Swift one.
Those are the ones that have like the beads that spell out, like they, you know, the letter beads, and they spell out words and stuff.
Oh,
those are very old school.
Take the North or TTN?
Maybe I don't know. TTN is too abbreviated.
Yeah, and everybody does that, right? Everybody has to abbreviate everything. You can't just say the word. We're Take the North, damn it. We're not TTN.
IDK.
That's, yeah.
WWK.
KMA.
ANT is next. Ant Heron. We'll talk more draft, get his take and his thoughts on how the Bears constructed this and what's next for the team. That's next on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.